that I want. Lost in Hope the Radio. Love of the world.
By love, that's how love goes. It's good for the soul.
Oh, I got a long way to go, but it won't stop the pain. No, no. That's the kind of thing that keeps me coming back again and again.
Till I see your face.
And everybody should know that's how love goes. It's good for the soul.
Oh, I got a long way to go, but it won't stop the pain. No, no. That's the kind of thing that keeps me coming back again and again.
Till I see your face.
Begin by bringing your attention into your body.
We'll be right back. First and foremost, how y'all doing? My great producers, Ms. LaTanya, Dr. King, how's life?
I'm good.
You good?
I'm trying to get this Cheez-It unchewed, but I'm good.
Cheez-It unchewed. All right.
I'm chewing. Just twist it. Yeah, there you go. Twist it till it gets sticky. I'm good. How about you, ma'am? It was already on.
Uh-oh.
Oh, did they? Oh, it probably just died. Okay, that's fine. No, it's still on. Or you just turned it back on. I see green.
I never touched.
It's on, though. And your phone rang. It's on, though.
It just went out. Okay, so, yeah, the battery's died.
No, we hear you.
Oh, I don't know why, though.
The light is on. It's still green.
Yeah, you good. You're crystal clear.
Yeah, it's fine.
You see green here?
Yes, we see green. I see green.
I see a lot of color.
I don't see no green.
Okay, well, it's on right now.
Okay.
We'll worry about that later.
You're doing good, though.
Well, yeah. I'm fine. I'm nervous as to what he sees.
Just be good with us, all right?
Yeah, I'm going to be good. I'll be good.
All right.
No, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good.
How was your time away?
I was working while I was away, getting some things in perspective, trying to make this thing work. Let me tell you, doing this show really helps me, right,
mm-hmm.
get the word out about mental health. And, people ask, right, when they share their perspectives on certain shows, right, not even necessarily the current ones, but back when, mm-hmm. right, when we first started, that really encouraged me to keep going.
Okay.
And so just that whole feedback, and I'm not a, let me let everybody know what's happening, with Healthy Soul Talk in terms of it's private, right? Clients and just what the work that we do,
right.
The specifics on it. But I just it's warming to me, right, that to do this and people feel open mm-hmm. with calling, just asking questions, you know, and I appreciate that so very, very much. And I think that more is needed to especially in our community, that people feel comfortable, mm-hmm. right, just making phone calls, you know, inquiring on good mental wellness and any questions they have, you know, on the process of, you know. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all who have followed the show, right? You know who you are in just being encouraging to me to keep going, sharing your stories with me when I, you know, tend to get down or, you know, hey, is this working? You know, mm-hmm. and so whether it's one person or 1,000 people, I embrace it all. Right. I embrace it all. So thank you all for allowing me, right, to be on this platform with you all.
I know it's missed. People were asking about it after a while because it was like, okay, where everybody go? Because it's like you, Lissette went on her hiatus mm-hmm. and then you turned around and went on yours. So it's like, wait a minute, now where everybody go? So it's good. It's good to have you back. And it, and there is a need for it. Yeah. There is an yeah. absolute need for yeah. There is a need for the show. Yeah. There's a need for the information, if nothing else.
Right.
There's
right.
definitely, especially now, especially in the times we're living in right now, there's yeah. an absolute need for it.
Yeah. So I just want to keep doing it, right? Keep mm-hmm. getting ideas and listening to the people and, you know, making sure that mental wellness becomes a part of everyday life. Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we're going to get right to it.
You
know, the lineup is the same. Right. We just took a break from my schedule.
OK.
Right? to get okay. that together. And so we should be good for the next, you know, but this year. Right. Let me mm-hmm. put it that way. More effort, you know, on my part here. All right. Here we go. So, you know, we added this component to the top of the show, the spiritual connect point. Right. And I was excited about it because, you know, that was hot. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I thought about this because we are recovering. Right. We're still recovering from what's happening in the world with these different elements here. And I posed this question because I was thinking about this from a, you know, Bible support group that I'm with. And we're studying faith and prayer these past couple of months. And put this question out here. What does faith without works is dead really? What does that really mean?
Okay.
Right. And I thought about this because, and this one was personal, right? This was personal for me because I heard this term so often. I always thought about it the way it was said to me as, you know, at this very moment, whatever I'm sharing with this person who is giving me spiritual feedback, guidance, whatever. If I don't have faith at that moment in whatever that is that God will, you know, bring me through or give me revelation for, then, I don't have faith. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like this all or nothing, right? Approach that, hey, if you don't believe, you know, that's why you are a Christian, you know, understand that, you know, you just can't pray about it, right? You got to do something. So, you know, you work your faith, right? All these phrases.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
But it was only isolated to, again, and this is me, to the specific thing that I was talking about.
Mm.
It really didn't phrase it to me that it's a lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
right, that you live in, right, your walk of faith, and that you know, once you do become a Christian and you know, confess, right,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you believe in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, then there's a lifestyle that comes with that.
Yes.
Right. And that's where I was with that. But for a long time, I always believed that my faith was not strong because it was always situational, right, when people shared that particular phrase with me.
Hmm.
And so I've heard other people, you know, and I listen to people now, of course, in that sense where, you know, they always say, you know, I don't have enough faith, or, you know, I always question my faith, right? Because they always say, you know, I should be doing this, or, you know, pray without ceasing, right? So that's another statement, right?
Yeah.
What does that really mean? And I just, you know, put that question out there, like, what does faith without works is dead? You know, what does that really mean? So this is where I invite the great Dr.
king in here.
Who?
To give that, you know, that biblical perspective, because I want people to be set free that, you know, it's not situational.
Okay.
Right? It's not just, okay, according to what you're talking about right now, if you don't, you know, work your faith, or if you don't, you know, do things right to manifest this particular thing, then you have no faith. Right, that you don't have strong faith or a foundation, right, to
mm-hmm.
faith, but it's a lifestyle. So what are your thoughts about that?
Let's if we're gonna do it, we have to do it the bright way. So the question you asked was, what is the meaning of what's faith without works is dead? What does it mean?
What does it really mean?
What does it really mean? That was your question.
Yes.
So we need to first go to where it is in the Bible, James
2:26.
Two and 26 is the actual phraseology,
mm-hmm.
but the actual scripture, James 2:14-26. If you don't mind, we'll go there briefly. Because I had to just get there briefly. I have to get the people there. You know, I feel like I'm about to teach.
Right. I was like, wait.
We'll go there briefly. Go with me. Grab your Bibles, please.
That's what I heard.
That's what hey, well, you know, I can't talk about it unless we're going to do it. But anyway, James 26. So 26 simply says, it says the same thing. For as the body is without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
But in order to get the context, you got to go back to the 14th verse.
Got it.
14th verse says, what doth it profit my brethren through man to say he hath faith mm-hmm. and have not works? Can faith save him? Mm-hmm. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not things which are needful to the body, what did you do to just help him? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being alone. Then he says, yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Then he goes on to say, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his own son upon the altar? So that's everything before the famous verse. But here is the part that's going to probably mess with some folks. Do we recognize that when James was giving this scripture, that he was not talking to Christians?
All right.
Let's start there.
Okay. All right.
Let's start there. So if it, cause see, we have a bad habit of misusing and taking scripture out of context.
Okay.
So we have to look at what we're not saying is that Christians don't have works. That's not what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're saying is that the problem here is that James is teaching us, it's a teaching tool to get out a measuring stick. That's a problem when we use it as a measuring stick,
mm-hmm.
when we say that. So too often the verse is used to keep people doing stuff when in actuality that's not what the meaning of the verse
mm-hmm.
went.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So works don't get you there. But here is what, this is why the beginning part of that scripture is so necessary. If I tell you, if you say to me, I have faith, that when the winter comes, I'm going to be warm.
Okay.
I have faith, but I'm not going to do the work to make sure that my gas bill is paid,
right, right.
that my heating systems work,
right.
and that I got on good clothes, that my clothes are ready
okay.
for the winter. I'm just going to wait on faith.
Okay.
So that's what James is saying. James is saying, don't send people off talking about the reason you don't have it is because you don't have faith. No, you don't know the whole situation.
Right.
So James
right.
is saying, don't let a man come to you that's hungry and you tell them the reason you hungry is because you have no faith. So I'm going to pray for you and then I'm going to send you on your way. And then when your faith gets better, you all of a sudden some food
right.
will manifest
right.
itself.
Right.
That's a whole lie from the pits of hell. I'm just going to tell you the truth. So what happens is this. What it says is that no, the work that I do in faith. So when I sow a seed, I sow that seed into you in faith. So I'm going to give you some clothes. You hungry. I'm going to give you something to eat. And then I'm going to pray in faith. That this will then spark you or give you what you need to get you to the next level that you need to be on. That's working my faith. But when I just say I'm going to pray about it, that's just like if I'm depressed and you tell I'll go to your vein. I'll stick where you are, right in your wheelhouse. Well, you depressed and you got some situations going on. Okay, well, just pray about it. You'll be all right. See, that's telling me to have faith. Well, you know, the reason you're going through depression is because you ain't got no faith.
Right.
No,
right.
The reason I'm going through depression is because there's something going on with me. And in order for me to figure it out, I need to I'm going to pray and then I'm going to seek some wisdom.
Right.
Right. So that's putting my faith to work.
Right.
Right. I have faith that the Lord is going to protect me. What I'm not going to do is walk into the street with my eyes closed.
Correct. Absolutely.
Come on now.
Absolutely.
So that's what it's really. That's the real part of this when we talk about it. Because see, we're justified. Paul tells us that we're justified and made righteous apart from our works.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is that it's two different scenarios going on because they're talking to two different sets of people.
Right.
See, because some people take that and say, well, Paul is contradicting what James said. No, they're not. It's talking to two different sets of people. Because,
okay.
See, James' message is about an unsaved person.
Okay.
Paul's message is about a saved person.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that helps somebody.
Right.
I don't know.
So the takeaway is...
Yes. Okay, so your takeaway is faith without works simply means when you pray in faith,
yes.
I'm going to pray. Here's the deal. You can say, I'm going to pray that God makes my radio show successful.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's all you do.
Mm.
But then you're going to pray that God makes my radio show successful, and then I'm going to do everything I can within my power.
Right.
Everything I can do. So I'm going to read. I'm going to do research.
Right. Right.
I'm going to do all these things so that then when God does move, I'm ready. Because, see, the reason why some of us aren't ready when God moves is because we felt like, well, I prayed for it, Lord, now send it to me. But we've done no work.
Yeah. And I think that's where that phrase that's often used, just pray about it.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
mm-hmm.
Because that's where the connection has been, right?
The mm-hmm.
first faith starts with prayer, right? And as long as you're praying, you know, things will work out.
Mm-hmm.
And just as you said, you know, what stuck out to me was lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That you have to create a lifestyle that walks in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You use the word of God. To build your faith, right? Because you believe the word. You have to believe the word first.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, to build that up. So you know, you're absolutely right. That takeaway, right? Even on the other side, right? You know, living a life of faith is, like you just said, planting seed.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, giving back,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you know and believe that you'll be taken care of, even if you sow the seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why worry about it? You know, when that's the command for us. So I, you know, I definitely just wanted to, you know, put that out there. It's like faith is a lifestyle, right? Faith of works is a lifestyle, not just situational.
Absolutely.
It's not just an isolated, right? An isolated situation.
Right. I have faith that the Lord gonna remove this COVID-15 that I picked up, this extra COVID-15 pounds that I picked up. But I know as long as I keep praying about it and not getting my butt up and going to the gym, it ain't going nowhere. I got faith that you can do it, though.
Yes, and you just need the willpower, right?
I just need to get up and do some work. I can have all the faith in the world as I eat another Snicker. That this right. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you for that word.
Anytime.
And that's just, you know, that's my reset, right, is that I'm intentional, right,
mm-hmm.
about, you know, the lifestyle. Right,
mm-hmm.
as it relates to living a lifestyle of faith,
mm-hmm.
right, and it being evident,
mm-hmm.
right, that I'm always walking in it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not using it as, you know, situational, things. Yes. All right. So thank you. Thank you. All right. Here we go. All right. So now we go into did you know, right? I think they're a little more subtle now, right? Just a little, yeah, you know, just gentle. All right, here's the first one, because we're going to talk about some, approximately one in every 10 people, right, walking around without a conscience or lacks empathy, right?
One out of every 10?
One out of every 10 people.
Walking around without a conscience or lacking empathy.
Or at best lacks empathy.
Okay.
You believe it?
Did it finally die? Okay. Yeah, it died. I can believe that.
Yes.
I can believe that. I believe the more of it is not that it's a it's not that they don't have a conscience. I think more of it is they don't understand what being empathetic is.
And you know what? I think from a neurological standpoint,
mm-hmm.
And just the whole, we can, you know, go biological, right? It really is that some people don't have empathy, right? They lack the section of the brain that mm-hmm. really, you know, supports that and generates that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the brain is very complex. So when you say that, I really think about there are brains. Right, there are parts of the brain where that particular part doesn't light up, right? So they don't have compassion, or they have very little compassion, right? As far as a conscience, that really means moral judgment, right? Right from wrong, or feeling remorseful, right? This is where this is where, you know, hurting people's feelings, or intentionally abusing or mistreating, right? That is something that does not bother them. So one in every 10, right?
One in every 10
people, there is someone who's on that level.
I can, right? I really believe it, because they talked about the kids who don't have, who don't have stranger danger.
Turn her down some. She's good and loud. Turn her down a little bit. That's number two.
Number two. All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Good and loud.
That's okay. It was real clear though. But go ahead. So you're saying what now?
I was watching 2020. It was a number of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and they talk about the kids who don't have the stranger danger defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
They go to anybody.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's a difference between, like, you know, when a baby goes to someone,
yes.
and, like, you know, knows that they're about to get, you know, the love that they need. These kids are like ripe for kidnapping.
Okay.
They don't believe okay. in, like, they don't have it.
Okay.
They literally don't have it.
Okay. And you know, a couple of things. We're just going to talk about, you know, a specific part, you know, of the personality tonight. But when you think about certain developmental, right, conditions, right, that social, emotional aspect is really, you know, underdeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But then you have those kids where we say they have little disregard for, you know, authority, and, you know, they intentionally, you know, do things in the classroom. That's a behavior, right? So it's very real, right? And
mm-hmm.
most diagnosis comes in adolescent, teen years for this particular, you know, this particular thing. So it is very much evident in kids.
Yeah,
very much evident. So one in every 10 people, right? And so that's something to think about, because it's how do you live among?
Is some of that not legit, though?
Was it empathy?
No, you said the part where you said in adolescence. You said adolescence, right?
Did yes. I hear adolescence?
Adolescence,
okay. Teens, yes.
Right. About them being disruptive. This is where we get the behavior issues in class, and then they get marked with something saying they have a behavioral issue.
Yes.
And it goes in their file.
Yes.
And how much of it is behavior issue or lack of teaching or lack of discipline? Is there a thin line there somewhere?
So I think they bounce off each other, right?
Because okay.
when I think about that child that needs extra support,
mm-hmm.
Our school systems aren't quite equipped
okay.
for the magnitude of support that's needed per child,
mm.
right? So you think about that. There are many, many You know, this is where money plays a factor in the best care, right?
Okay.
Of how much support you can get a child, you know, to give them the best, you know, start in life. So I say it bounces off each other because obviously the lack of support or inefficient, ineffective, you know, support, the condition manifests itself and it gets worse, right? So you're looking at where, yeah, it started in elementary school, right? Quality of care wasn't the best, so now they're in high school and they don't make it through high school, right? Because quality is probably non-existent, you know, quality of service is probably non-existent there. So that's what I mean by it bounces off each other is if the funds and the resources are not available for just that one particular child, right? You know, multiply that right by hundreds, you know, in some schools, we certainly have.
Well, I know, especially in the environment we're in now, because we're still in the midst of this virtual school.
Right.
Kids are really missing it.
Right.
But they're home.
Yes.
And you see that some of the, what I've learned is some of their behavior issues, they got them honestly.
In
a learned environment.
Yeah, yeah.
Because no one at their home is correcting or even making an attempt to correct anything.
And that then is the part of their development, right? Brains are still developing. You know,
yeah, because you never tell me as a child that hitting is wrong.
Yeah.
Or if you laugh when I throw out, if I drop an F-bomb at home at 3 and 4 and 5, And then all of a sudden when I get to school and I drop one or two of them, it was funny at home. Now, what's going to be the difference when I get to school and drop one thinking it's funny? Or if I'm able to talk back to you at home, then what's going to be different at school when the teacher tells me to sit down at my desk and I tell the teacher, you ain't my mama, you ain't my daddy, or if I say, I don't like you no way, you know, whatever. Well, that's why my mama said, you know, right.
It's a tough one. Right?
Okay.
It still gets to support and resources.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we're getting better, right, as far as identifying the fact, right, the risk factors. But now it's like, what now, right? If we know this, you know, what is the plan of action, right, to reduce, right, children going into adulthood with, you know, empathy issues or, you know, good moral judgment, right? There has to be a plan of action. We know this. And yes, and in some of our areas, you know, especially with violence and just no loyalty, right, to others and, you know, putting people before themselves, right? Regard for human life, we see there's little to no regard in some areas. Right. So just really, you know, getting to understanding that we do need a plan of action, a call, right, a call to action in these communities. Yeah. So, yes, that includes children. Right. That 1 in 10. Right. Does not exclude a certain age group. All right. So the next, did you know there was a survey done by Mental Health America, the Workplace Health Survey, that said 35% of employees always miss 3 to 5 days a month because of workplace stress.
Okay, say that one more time.
35% of employees, right, and this was a pretty large survey, always miss. And you know how those Likert-type scales, right? Always miss 3 to 5 days a month because of workplace stress. And, you know, when I thought about this, I was like, this is so real right now, right? That when you say always, that misses, it means it's guaranteed that somebody,
somewhere.
Right, somewhere is always missing 3 to 5 days a month. That's every 30, 31 days, right? You're missing 3 to 5 days of work. That's almost once a week or sometimes more than once a week.
You said 3 to 5 or 35?
3 to 5. 3 to 5.
So I have no doubt. I'm shocked that the number is this low.
You know, again, the average. Right,
right, that's the average.
The average 3 to 5 a month.
Because I know people, you know, when I first started working back in, you know, I guess I count the real jobs. I won't count the ones they was paying me under the table. But when I was getting, you know, the ones that Social Security know about, let me put it that way.
Really?
The ones that Social Security know about. I never even heard the term mental health day. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's like you never heard that. Like, if you were taking off work, you either use a sick day because I'm sick, or I'm taking a vacation day.
Physically
sick.
Right?
Yeah. You never heard somebody say, I'm taking a mental health day, even though it's still a sick day.
Yeah.
But you never heard somebody even use the terminology, I'm taking a mental health day.
Yeah.
And
it was always in a joking manner.
I never even heard it.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It was like, I think I was in my sixth or seventh year at the last company I worked for.
Okay.
When I was doing some reading somewhere, and it was like, you know, when you find yourself stressed, and I was either watching a video or something, they was like, y'all need to start taking them, y'all saving up all them vacation days, start taking some mental health days. And at some point, I just would get up and I was like, you know what? I'm not doing it today.
Okay.
And I need I'm taking a mental health day. And literally it was to disconnect, because even though when I wasn't working, I had a whole separate phone for work. And so I'm constantly checking those emails all day, every day. I'm like, you know what? I'm taking me a day.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, mental health. I can see more people. Cause I know do they offer that at Taylor School, or do they just tell them that? What do they say?
No, her mother tells her that.
To take a mental health day?
Yes. She has, she could take two in a month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she'll ask me, and I'm like, okay. And it's, you know, it's agreed upon.
Yeah.
Cause I know, I wish back in my era, that a mental health day existed for me, because it was hard at St. Mel, and you know, deeming it the hard work school, it was true to life that it was the hard work school. And I think, you know, and the whole thing with the kids taking a gap year, I think I should have just took a gap year and got my life together and everything else like that. You do things
before going to college.
Yeah, like you do things because that's the expectation of your family and everything else like that. But, like, you know, being in a school where you're doing work until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning and everything else like that, you do need some downtime to feel like you can catch up and everything else like that. And there was never any catching up with St. Mel. But with Taylor, she feels like she can catch up. She catches up on work. And I was like, you do know you still go to class. Even while online, she has those. I let her have a mental health day. And, like, you know, so, like, you know, you do know you still got to catch up with work and everything else like that, because, like, you know, sleep, like, you know, people are sleep deprived and everything else like that. And so it just gives her a chance to recharge everything else. And, you know, and the one thing you cannot do is something fun. Be within the house. Be within the house, like, you know, and everything else like that. This is not the time to go to your friend's house and everything else like that. You still do the extracurriculars, but you know, you take that time and everything else like that. It's not the time to, like, you know, hang out with yourself. Like, you know, I know Medea made fun of, what do you mean a me day and everything? Kids, adults, everyone needs a me day. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, the element of workplace stress is very much overwhelming now, right? Especially since the pandemic. And even though you work from home, you need a mental health.
Felicia says she took them in school. It was called ditching.
Good evening, Felicia and Malia. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
I mean, I did my first ditch at St. Mel. I did. It was my senior year. I ditched them and everything else like that. It was first time ever. Always had perfect attendance.
Why you got your hand up? Like,
I'm sorry. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. Like, but yeah. But Lord know I was at school because I really didn't like it. And you couldn't really miss that same man. You miss one day, you miss 10. In terms of schoolwork and trying to get called back, you know, called back up.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah,
what I do?
No, I'm just laughing because you did your hand up.
Well, you know, like Connie Jean found out I had ditched that day so many years ago.
Oh my God! You know what? And I think that's where we are, right? In just our policies and procedures, right? People are worn out, they're burnt out, and you know, unfortunately, jobs or organizations have really put the pressure on. Right, maintaining business, and the demand is high. So, you know, it's not, you know, I don't see a problem with the survey itself. I think it just brings awareness to the weekend. It's just not enough, right, to recover from a, you know, 9-to-5 demanding job where, you still thinking about work and getting caught up, right, on your time.
Right. Well, they were just talking about it on Windy City Live and everything. What's that? I forget what company. There are no Zoom meetings on Friday.
Okay.
So it's like, so that's
really
a
new, what company that is.
So that's the new dress down. That's our new, you know, when you get to wear your jean day. Mm-hmm. There are no Zoom meetings at this company on Fridays and everything. And, you know, Val was saying it shouldn't be on a Monday either and everything else like that. It's like, you know, but, you know, you have other countries up there that, you know, that don't work as hard as America does and everything else like that. And they provide adequate vacation time for their employees. And then in this country, like they used to have, you know, just working at, you know, at different social service agencies, the turnup would be real about taking vacation time. Like, y'all do know I'm going to have this baby, right? I'm going to take all 6 weeks and everything.
Yes.
And or not people not knowing how to even use their own sick days. You don't have to, you can use a sick day for your doctor's appointment. You don't have to tell them that. Like a lot of people will use, like, you know, and they felt like they have to always be there and everything. I commend those people that can still, like, you know, case in point, our old co-host, Sharisa, like, even with her diagnosis, she still was able to clock in hours. I'm looking like, man, and I'll be put on the carpet. I'm looking like, I did my groups. I don't know why my hours ain't in. I'm so sorry and everything.
Yeah. But people have to take care of themselves now, right? And, you know, kudos to those who, you know, see the need and you know, take it up on them. Okay, so Felice says, Germany has a 35-hour work week. Google lets you work whenever you want to, not just 9 to 5. Yeah. So, you know, I think that definitely sets the tone for it's time to take care of yourself and communicate, right? So don't just walk off, right? Use your time and, you know, don't be afraid to put those, you know, requests in to take your days off.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. The topic for the evening is confident or narcissistic, right? Confident or narcissistic.
Mm.
How to tell the difference. All right. And so, you know, narcissistic, that word in itself is used a lot. And so I often wonder if people really know what it means and or, you know, the problems associated, right, with being narcissistic. And so, of course, because this is mental wellness, mental health, I want to make sure, you know, we give the intensity of narcissistic as we compare it to being confident. Okay, so in the realm of narcissistic personality disorder, this is one of several types of personality disorders. And so it's actually a mental health condition where a person has an inflated sense of their own importance, right? A deep need for excessive attention and admiration, troubled relationships, and a lack of empathy for others. All right. I want you to think about this is a 24-hour everyday presentation. There are no breaks, right? It's not situational. It doesn't discriminate who it is, right? Meaning whoever that person is interacting with. All right. This is that person. This is their personality. Okay. But it goes a little bit further to say that behind the mask, right, of this extreme confidence lies a fragile self-esteem that's vulnerable to the slightest criticism. Okay. So keep that in mind as we go along here. And so when you think about narcissistic personality disorder, it causes problems in just about every area of the person's life, such as relationships, work, school, financial affairs. People with this particular presentation, they're generally unhappy and disappointed when they're not given special favors or admiration they believe they deserve. And they may find relationships unfulfilling, and others may not be, most of the time, other people don't enjoy being around them. Okay. And so that's where we are, right? So when we compare these two terms, narcissism
Say that real fast. Narcissa who? Say it one more time.
Narcissistic tendencies are prevalent, right? It's frequently identified in a person. So it's not a switch that you turn on and off. All right. So I just want to present, right, five ways here to tell the difference between confident, right, and narcissism.
So
I'm gonna laugh my way through this.
Yeah,
show.
You are. So because being narcissistic is another word for being conceited.
You know what? So here's my thing with that.
Yes.
It really depends on the person in their presentation, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear that term, right? You're so conceited, right? But usually that's in the context of something, right? Whether that's they're vain about their looks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you know how much money they make. It's usually just an element, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the person that they glorify, right? And they want everybody to know about it.
Mm-hmm.
They make cocky, conceited, right? But with narcissistic behavior, it's no empathy. So you don't care how you come across to people. You don't care, right, how your behaviors impact people, right? You get what you want by any means necessary. So there are behaviors that come with being narcissistic.
You're right, because conceited people have a tendency to only – they don't need other people to boost up their ego.
Okay.
I like how you just said you're right. And you the whole doctor over there.
No, because I'm saying conceited.
On this subject.
Conceited? No, because conceited.
Wow.
Let me say I agree. How about that, then?
Thank
you're right.
You.
But you are, though, because conceited people, no, because conceited people don't need other people to tell them that they're good at something. Whereas narcissists, and when conceited, conceited people don't really do anything that's going to harm anybody else.
Correct.
Narcissistic people will do what they do to get applause and don't care who they have to hurt.
Correct.
In order to be okay, gotcha. Let's go. I'm with you.
And let's be clear, you know, with narcissistic personality disorder, that's different from antisocial personality disorder.
Okay.
Like antisocial personality disorder, since they're extreme in their behaviors. We're talking about criminal activity, serial killers, serial rapists.
That's what
right?
I heard.
Okay.
Well, so, when somebody say they antisocial, you just really just mean like, I'm a killer. You just might as well.
Right.
And you don't want that title.
Don't
to,
yeah, that's
you don't,
coming up.
So stop saying you're antisocial.
Please do,
yeah.
Y'all. Do not label yourself as antisocial because you don't like being around people.
Right.
That's
not it.
Opposite.
Yeah.
Opposite.
Like that's the best definition or just like, you know, of learning anything. Like, you know, never say that. Like, you know, you just said I have the tendency to hurt you.
Yeah, and I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
Right. Felicia says, confidence says it's about you and me. Narcissism says it's just about me. Absolutely. Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here we go. Right. So thinking about this, the first difference here is narcissism is self-focused while confidence is not. Okay. And this is an article by a clinician, get to her name, Mandy Corbett. All right. And so confident individuals does not frequently think of oneself, right? Healthy self-confidence allows an individual to move from place of self-focus to a place of focus on all involved. All right. However, narcissism involves the ability to inability to see beyond oneself, right? The inability to see beyond oneself. And so when you think about this, it's very difficult being in a relationship with a person who has narcissistic tendencies. Although there's some statistics on narcissistic personality disorder. You know, when we see the statistic, it may seem relatively low, but when you think about the amount of people right on this earth, there are millions of people right who actually can be diagnosed with this, and this is their personality, right? This is the way they think. This is how they process right their day to day level of functioning, right? Narcissism. Right. It's all about the self. Right. Every conversation, they don't have the ability to
show a level of compassion and empathy for the persons that they're around or people, because they can't see beyond, right? What's in it for them? And again, this is not a grand experience for them. This is a day-to-day, right, that they can't see, they cannot see beyond themselves when they are in communication or relationship with someone.
My narcissistic behavior, personality, whatever it is, and everything else like that, it's so, that one word has so many branches and everything, okay. And it's so crazy. I'm like, okay, the covert narcissist and the malignant, how about you're just a mean individual?
You know,
how about that?
I don't want to say confusing these days, but many people, because, you know, I appreciate the mental wellness and diving into what it means, but some terms are being created where it's always been there, right? Like covert versus overt, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's no different,
mm-hmm.
right? That person, you know, it's just a matter of environment, you know, that
mm-hmm.
they're in. So a narcissist is a narcissist,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, whatever they're trying. So you have some narcissists who like to be in relationships just to get money, right? And so, of course, that's more extreme and intense, right? So now they will make somebody believe that they're in love with them, right, for purposes of that monetary gain, versus that narcissist who likes attention. So now will, you know, seek, right, guilt trips, right,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, do things just to get attention. Right. And that's a huge difference, right, in the impact that it has on a person. And so, you know, I think about that a lot, right, how many terms are out there, or how many, you know, adjectives, right, we put
like
in front of
is like
certain things.
Out there, like, you almost be like, so a person just pretty much got borderline personality disorder. And, like, you know,
yeah,
you're out here wreaking havoc and everything.
Yeah, and wreaking havoc in a way, the brain is wired a certain way. And, that's kind of where my heart lies when you talk about mental illness and this cluster of mental illness, because this is the wiring of a person, right? With borderline specifically, I do plan to get into that. That comes from a heavy history of sexual trauma,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, so there are different experiences in life that contributes to the rewiring of as well, you know,
mm-hmm.
for a person that now it's them, right? They disassociate, you know, created their own sense of reality. But what happens when, you know, we go back to you lack empathy in childhood, right? You know, you burn animals, you kill animals, or, you know, you set fires, right?
Mm-hmm.
We just know that the brain, right? We all have our genetic coding or brain, right? Pattern. We're all unique. And this is the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
The world has people who are genetically or biologically, physiologically, you know, built with narcissistic tendencies.
Okay.
Right? And the counseling for them is hard because they have to recognize that it is a problem, right? So what you speak of is we see it as a problem. We see you as being mean,
mm-hmm.
but to be fair to that person, the brain is not technically allowing them, right, to see that I'm coming across this way or I am taking advantage of this person, because there's a gratification. There's this euphoria, right? There's this, you know, happiness, instant, right,
mm-hmm.
short-lived. Right, because they always have to maintain that fulfillment. And what happens when they're deprived, right? What happens when they see nobody wants to be around them? They're unhappy, right? So it's a lifestyle that actually can't be maintained, right? But it's hard to shake that off. It's not easy to say, you know, I'm going to, you know, get my moral judgment. Right?
Felicia said, asked the question, do you feel it has gotten worse from social media, or was it always there?
I think it's always been there. Social media allows it to be manifested.
Right. Just gave you room.
Right.
It gave you a platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we have mean people
mm-hmm.
who, you know, like to bully and,
mm-hmm.
you know, those are not necessarily narcissistic tendencies. But if I'm a person that, you know, does that in general and I see it here, now I know I don't have a problem.
right? Because mm-hmm. there are other people mm-hmm. doing behaviors that, you know, okay, what do you mean? I mean, look at all this here. Look at social media. We're always teasing people. We're always bullying people. We're always swindling people out of money, mm-hmm. right, on social media. So to some extent, it's validating.
Well, I think I think he's an ex-football player. Is it named DeVal? Yeah, Blacks.
Okay.
Yeah, he talks about, you know, himself, like, you know, like in a way of recovering from being a narcissist, like, okay. you know, and everything, and just, like, owning, like, you know, like, I had a problem and everything else like that, it, you know, and it they say it is very hard for them to even realize, like, you know, that them themselves.
Yeah, it's huge. It, this is, we work with those people, right? They're married. Right. They cause strained parental relationships because
and then sometimes it comes from the parent.
Yeah.
Because it just
yeah.
didn't like it didn't self evolve. it has a homegrown
yeah,
tendency.
Yeah. Nature versus nurture. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, how much of it is my brain, you know, wiring versus, you know, the environment that I grew up in. Or it could be both. Right. It could be both. All right, so that's that. Narcissism is self-focused while confidence is not, okay? The next one here is number two. Narcissism craves affirmation
mm-hmm.
while confidence does not seek to prove itself, okay? While everyone needs encouragement to grow and thrive, a person who is truly confident would not require continual affirmation of others for their emotional stability. Right? Confidence is the ability to establish an emotional equilibrium, regardless of others' opinion. Narcissists tend to be hyper aware of what others think, even though this disorder can make one come across as disconnected, aloof, and unconcerned about others' opinion. That's the mask, okay? However, because a person with this disorder often lacks the ability to perceive their innate worth, they will seek to earn it through the approval of others, thus causing the individual to crave continual affirmation from those around them.
Mm.
Just reading that can be exhausting.
That was exhausting. my brain was like, what did you hear?
So, you know, and it's exhausting, you know, again, listening to people in this term, narcissistic, right? You're so, you know, they're narcissistic. I hear this a lot. We do a lot of, you know, things in relationships. And that relationship, that's strained because you always have to feed my ego,
mm-hmm.
right? You always have to give me attention in everything that I do, right? When that word crave is a clinical term in addiction. Right? That's part of the criteria for addiction, craving.
You said, what did you say, craving affirmations? Is that what you said?
Affirmation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and so when you say, well, confidence is, right, you don't require continuous affirmation
mm-hmm.
for your emotional stability. You can regulate yourself, right, without the approval of others, without the continuous. So if I tell you I love you, right, that's sufficient. Versus a narcissist will probably say, okay, I need you to text me, call me, email me, right, that you love me 24 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
right, because there's this attention-seeking gratification that I always, you know, must have. It's all about me, right? And so that's obviously that causes a strain there. But, you know, that is a distinguishing factor here between narcissism and confidence, right, is that narcissistic behavior craves affirmation, and they act on those cravings. There is no let me control, right?
So what I heard.
Let me control, you know, how I'm coming across. So maybe I am overwhelming you, right, with this attention-seeking behavior that I'm doing. There's no thought about that.
So there's no methadone for that. That's what I heard. Serious.
There's no medication for that. Yeah. All right. There's no medication for that. Okay. And again, you may say, well, what does that mean? That it's overwhelming, right? Its presentation is overwhelming. So there's a great demand, you know, even not just in relationships, right? Intimate relationships with family members, right? Kids and just the whole aspect of,
you know, you must give me the attention that I'm craving, right, mm-hmm. at all times. You know, validating who I am, you know, all the time. All right? All right. What you thinking about, Tanya?
When you said that, I was like, they need that Viola Davis spirit. You is kind. You is smart. I'm like, no.
You is important.
Right.
You know, yeah, and you know what's hard about this, too, is I think about how accessible we are with technology and social media, where this is hard, you know, going back to Felicia's question about, you know, social media, like, I wonder how narcissistic, you know, tendencies, people with these tendencies are doing, because if they're using social media to get their cravings, you know, fulfilled, and it's not satisfying, I think that intensifies the friction, that intensifies, right, the people in their space, right, because mm-hmm. they're not getting the love, the likes, the, you know, they're using every platform, Instagram, you know, Snapchat, all these different outlets where you can get millions, right, millions of people exposed to what you do, and it's not good enough. Right, it's not good enough. So I do believe social media is playing a factor in the intensity or the mental stability, right, narcissistic individuals.
Yeah, because it creates a it creates false affirmations.
Yes, yes.
Because we take, you know, people take the likes as, you know, less, like they treat likes like money, mm-hmm. you know. And if you're not, you know, I mean, and I know. It's one of the things where, you know, you have those who are overly confident. People will call them conceited, but overly confident. But I often think about, you know, he rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Darius Williams, the cook guy, the chef, Darius Cooks.
Okay. Yes.
He rubs a lot of people the wrong way because he is, some people look at him as being, some people might call him a narcissist, but I believe he's just very confident and it could probably boil over into conceit. However, he's not concerned about whether or not what he says or what he does offends anybody, because he's like, if you don't like it, don't follow me.
Right.
Right. Whereas a narcissist wants to follow and he'll do whatever is necessary. He will sell his or her soul.
Correct.
For likes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I think we're still torn about that. I still think he's a narc. I really do. Like you know.
Arrogant, not arrogant.
No, yeah, I can see the arrogant piece, but that I think it's overly. I think it's confidence too.
The way he climbed and pitted over people, the way he does not.
And I don't know him like that.
Yeah,
so you all.
Yeah, so like you know, for me and him, me and Dano debate. You know,
okay.
He always says like, I'm like, no, this man does not have good
okay.
intentions
okay.
and everything. I think just recently, maybe like yesterday, I read something. I was like, that sounded really good. Like somebody read that before you posted that. And he told you to change, take this out, because he had to. Because anything that you have to say at the end literally means what you. He's like, this is not. He said something like, this is not meant to be braggadocious. This is a testimony. Okay. You meant to brag, but baby, it did sound good. So I let him slide with that one
okay.
and everything else like that, because you did not have to show the 57,000 paycheck stub. And everything else, like from back in the day and everything.
Oh, his
like
last
that.
Check from his
not, yeah.
old job. Yeah,
because we're not going to talk about like the other issues and everything else
right.
like that. It's like always like never man, like, you know, he got that that Rick James effect. Never man what you saw me do. I'm Darius Cook. And,
right.
You know, so.
Right.
You know what? And again, I think so the slight difference there for me is
mm-hmm.
our culture, right? I think. You know, just from a cultural perspective, we need to show, you know, success in some are more, what would I say, boastful,
mm-hmm.
right, than others, you know. And I just thought about that when you were
yeah.
talking, like, you know.
I think I got it. I think somebody else has said it. Also, I'm going to tear up the word. They ain't going to laugh at me. So everybody just please be calm with me. They, like, I tried to, like, look it up so I could pronounce it right.
Uh-huh.
The Svengali attitude, where you just like, you know, you're a selfish person.
Okay.
And you're like, you know, and the definition is like, you still mean you are a selfish person. And at the end of it, but like, you know, and when she, yeah. and Felicia was like, you know, she said, I heard a lot of pastors have that.
Mm.
That may be true.
Narcissistic personality.
Yeah, like that may be true. Like, you
that's
know,
factual.
Wait a minute, you camera, have to be diagnosed.
Camera
with
the cameras and everything else like that. That but the diagnosis for them, it will never happen because you have to really look outside of yourself to say like, I have a problem.
Yeah, and you know. The cluster of personality disorders we're going to talk about, you know, in the upcoming weeks, it's hard because it does leave people, right, to assess what is wrong, right? You know, if this is the wiring of or the functioning of a person, it has to be a name for it, right? And so, you know, I think, you know, again, what is that fine line, right, between I don't care, right, versus, you know, narcissistic. And I'm here because this ruins people's lives, right? Narcissistic personality disorder, mm-hmm. It has some victims,
mm-hmm.
right? It has some victims. And so, you know, looking at people in the spotlight and, you know, entertainers, you know, in different professions where they always have to be present and produce themselves a certain way, there's a demand, right, that they always have to meet. There's the stamina, there's the presentation. So that's why I say I wonder how much of, you know, being in the public when you decide to be a public figure, you're not your own boss at all, right? You're governed by, you know,
especially
what
when
the image
starts
of.
To come with a PR and everything
yeah,
else like
yeah.
that.
So,
like,
so
you know, how much is you
and
like, you know, you kind of appreciate the people that are real, like. Like Reggie Royal, you get a sense of it's still real. You see some people emerging with the personality. You're like, you know what? This is not gonna go good. Like, you know, if a camera come your way.
So give them a break, y'all. Give the clergy right a break. It, you know, because it has to be where you are able to, and this is just for this, right? It has to be where you can have the lifestyle. Right, of the person where, you know, like, again, narcissistic, you know, tendencies are 24/7, right? It's really not a switch you turn on and off, you know, when you're in the public or, you know, you're about to do something, you know, big in your life, right? Promotional, gain, right? That's just greed, right? We got some other terms we can plug there. But for narcissistic people, it's just about them, period. It's not about, okay, let me gain wealth on my family. Let me make sure my family's straight, right? Whatever the cause that we tend to see with certain behaviors, right, in these professions, they really wouldn't fit narcissistic because, remember, narcissism is all about the self, right? Mm-hmm. They're not including other people in their game.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Felicia says here, I agree with Tanya. You can't mishandle people in your confidence. That is true. That is true. Okay. All right. The next one here. Narcissism exploits others while confidence lifts others up. Okay. Narcissism exploits others. Okay. While confidence lifts others up. Right. And so, you know, really thinking about that, you know, that's huge. Right. Mm-hmm. You mentioned, you know, Darius there, you know, if he had to step on other people, right, to get to the top or, you know, taint somebody else's name. I don't know. But
took a recipe here and there. Don't give credit.
What?
Like, you know, it's been a lot.
Now,
like,
see, when I want to say stuff, I don't even say it, but she over here going all in.
Because, you know, because you agree with, I think there is some wrong.
I let me make sure I'm clear. I love his hustle.
But when you
no, I'm talking about his, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about his hustle on what he, how he building his brand and being strictly about his brand being built. I understand there was some shenanigans on the other under the underside.
But there have been people's cupcake business been taken away, and there's always he's doing the magic trick where you take the tablecloth and you still got the plates on there somewhere around there. Water has spilled, a fork ends up on the floor. Those dishes do move, you know, that whole snatching that is not complete and everything like that.
Wow.
And at the end, you're going to have to be accountable about that. He's only been accountable maybe one time when it came to light, that whole credit thing, and you know, in Atlanta and everything else like that. But it's going to take more. It's always that more and everything else like that. And is he learning from it? I don't know. That's not for me to judge. That's his lifestyle and everything else.
Wow. Okay. It says confidence takes genuine pleasure in seeing others grow and achieve their goals.
Yeah.
A truly confident individual will often look for opportunities to inspire achievement and success in others. Okay. Narcissism is rooted in deep insecurity and tends to perceive others' success as threatening. Moreover, if left unchecked, narcissism can drive one to do almost anything to get ahead, even if that means exploiting and walking over others.
Mm.
Right. So you can see how this is them, right? This is how they operate. This is their thought process. These are their intentions.
Well, definitely with the exploitation piece, it's like, I want to get all I can get out of you to get me where I need to be. Let me use your skill set.
You hungry?
Let me eat another Snicker.
Look, let's eat.
Let me get another Snicker. But use your skill set, your ideas and everything, and I'll take the credit for it. You have to be, those people, if there are some people like that, then the confident person doesn't care if their name doesn't get called because they know they did a great job.
Yeah.
And I think I had to learn that at a very, very young age. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about whether or not your name get called.
And that's, you know, when you all say that, you know, with the example that we were speaking of, like you said, Tanya, those individuals whose businesses were impacted, or you know, there was no reach back, right, to pull up, right, you didn't make good on, or you didn't do things to bring up, right, your fellow man. You know, that's kind of where this is, right? Is that, you know, that confident person would say, okay, I'm here. Let me look back in, you know, bring you on up, you know, with whatever your niche is. Right.
You grab them by the hand and you're like, you know what? I got this from, you know, they're not to say camera shy or anything, like, you know, camera, audio, whatever, like, you know, you give that gold star, you give that asterisk and everything else like that. And you don't make that asterisk small, that it's fine print. You do give, you know, you put it in the 16 bold font and let them know, like, you know, like, here's some credit.
Yeah, or, you know, sharing how you got there, right? I think just looking at that, you know, that person always strives, right, to be above, right, another person, you know, and if you are a threat to them, they take action on the threat. All right, so hey, Lisa, cousin Lisa, how are you? Felicia says, narcissistic traits in the Bible, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5.
Mm.
The message.
The Message Bible.
The Message Bible. All right. Yeah, let's turn with me. No. You know.
Man's trying to come up. It's not coming up.
You know, so thinking about, you know, just that, right? So your confidence, right, is not just about yourself, right? Self-seeking pleasure, right? It's a genuine pleasure in seeing others grow and achieve their goals, okay? Where the opposite is you're stepping and crushing on people and intentionally trying to, you know, destroy, right, them from success. All right. Number four here. Narcissism avoids blame while confidence is willing to admit fault. Got it? Narcissism avoids blame while confidence is willing to admit fault.
Okay. Though admitting fault isn't easy for anyone, it is far easier for a person with a healthy amount of confidence. This is because a confident person knows they are not defined by their success and failure. Okay. As a result, owning up to failures, faults, mistakes, and wrongdoings is always possible. Narcissists, however, find it impossible to admit fault. A person with this disorder has attached his or her identity to success, achievement, and sometimes even perfection. They may believe their worth is dependent on it.
Mm.
When this is the case, admitting fault feels deeply threatening. The individual may go into denial that any such fault exists.
Okay.
Got it? Right? It's huge. By no means will I ever admit, right, that something's my fault or I made a mistake or I was wrong in any decision that I made.
I just read the scripture that Felicia gave us earlier, and it applies all in here. So I'm going to read this Message Bible real quick.
Okay.
It literally has a title that says Difficult Times Ahead is what it says at the title. And then in verse 1 through 5 says, 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck up, profane, contemptuous, of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust and allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they're animals. Stay clear of these people.
What was the bloated what?
Bloated windbags. This is the Message Bible. The Message Bible. I love the Message Bible. The Message Bible make it so plain, you be like, ooh, Lord.
I got to read that.
Yeah. Now, this is the same one. See, now, if I read the King James, you'll know what it says. For men shall be lovers of their own selves.
Correct. Okay.
Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. Yeah, all that good stuff.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
This is good. I like this. I like this. This is interesting.
Police says, I'm sorry to a narcissist is sorry you caught me, Derek Jack. Is that Jackson?
You know what? We're going to move on.
Wow. That's kind of deep.
Do you know who Derek Jackson is?
I do.
Okay, you do. Okay, yeah. Got it. Okay, I want to make sure you knew.
Yeah.
Is it next week?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about it tomorrow.
You going to talk about it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay.
But at the beginning of the show.
Friday. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hot topic.
But why? Okay, I'll
go ahead.
Let's go ahead.
All right, so narcissistic behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
They avoid blame, right? They
mm-hmm.
avoid, you know, admitting, owning up to faults and mistakes, any wrongdoing. Got it? All right, number 5 here. Last one.
Mm-hmm.
Narcissism breeds narrow-mindedness, while confidence breeds perspective. Okay? Narcissism breeds narrow-mindedness,
mm-hmm.
while confidence breeds perspective. A true sign of healthy self-confidence is the ability to look at any given situation from another person's vantage point. Healthy self-confidence allows an individual to see oneself as they really are, right? A small but important part of a much bigger picture. On the contrary, narcissists see themselves as the center of a much smaller picture. Individuals with this disorder often deem their subjective experience as an ultimate reality, creating a much smaller capacity to take into account another's experience or perspective. Got it? So again, right? That whole concept of trying to have a conversation with a narcissistic person can be very frustrating, and many people become agitated.
Hmm.
Right? Agitated. And so, you know, when you think about that, I often think about the conflict, torn families, torn relationships,
mm-hmm.
right? Because narcissistic behaviors can very well lead to other, right, other destructive behaviors in life, right? So what happens when you become more financially unstable, right? You get put out the house or no one, you know, wants you by them. And so now you are trying to survive, right? But you can't shake off, right? It's the world that it's the world against you attitude. You know, instead of, right, having a perspective that I need to play my part, right, in society. I'm a piece of, right, the peace on earth, right? I am not the center, you know, of attention. But it is very hard to have conversations with a narcissistic person. And that's why, you know, I brought this up because we use the term so loosely, but the term is very severe. The term is, it really is a situation where I wouldn't want to label a person, right, as narcissistic, you know, because that means once I say that, I have to make a decision on how I proceed with this person in my life. Right. When you say, you know what, you know, you're such a narcissist, right? If I say that to myself, that means I'm getting pretty agitated, right? I'm getting pretty frustrated with you because we know that the tendencies of narcissistic behavior, it's very intense. It's you know, provoking, right? It's little regard, has little to no empathy, right? And so now if I'm saying this to you, right, the ball is back in my court. Like, okay, if you're gonna call me a narcissist, do you accept my behavior? Right? Do you accept who I am, or are you going to still be combative with me? Does that make sense? So that's why it's like, you know, I want you all to be careful with using that term towards people that you stick around, right? You have them still in your life, because when you say that means you now have to make a move. Because you can't really ask that person to change if we're saying that narcissistic behavior sees no wrong, right? They see no blame. They see no wrongdoing. If you know this, right, what is your next move, not what is their next move? Right? Robert Johnson here says, Dr. Dana, you just described the culture of corporate America. In that scripture you read?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, welcome,
Robert. That was our former president.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Felicia says, I heard this comes from children that have suffered severe trauma. Yeah. More of the antisocial, which we're going to talk about next week, antisocial personality disorder, sociopath versus psychopath. The difference there, right? Because these are personality disorders, right? This is, you know, not really medication, you know, recommendation here. Right, you can't give medication for somebody who can't admit their faults, right? There's not a shot, right, to you know, have someone stop trying to take advantage and, you know, take over people, right, just to get their success going. You know, there's no medication, you know, regimen for that.
There's a shot.
There's a shot.
Gunshot.
Really?
I'm playing.
You got.
So, right, what you got, Dr. Dan?
I like this conversation because you have people who, I guess I would love to have you come back at some point and do this again, and talk about the difference between the confidence and the narcissist, or the confidence and the conceit. Yeah, the confidence, because I always tell people, I used to say this all the time, that there was a very thin line between confidence and conceit.
Okay.
A very thin line, because you can be so confident that it comes off as conceit, but maybe you're just really confident in your skill set or what you do. You're confident that, you know, it's like, I guess if you are some people. If you listen to all the stories about Michael Jordan and how Michael Jordan believed, and even when you listen to his Hall of Fame speech, which is crazy, when he went to the Hall of Fame, he still believed that there was nobody on the court that was ever going to outwork him.
Okay.
Even if he was wrong, he believed that. That was his confidence.
Okay.
So I guess the question is, some people would say, well, he sounds like he's conceited. because, you know, he might not have been the best person on the court, but you couldn't tell him that.
Right.
And then he used that as fuel to overcome areas where I believe he thought, mm-hmm. you know, he said, well, I need this to push me to the next level.
Okay.
So some people, you know, and it's like I guess because somebody brought up ministers earlier and being narcissists. Yes, there are some. There are some who are overly arrogant, over the top arrogant, over the top.
Yes.
It's all about me. It's all about me. You know, make sure my name is on it.
Yes.
Make sure my picture is on it. How come my name ain't on this and all that kind of stuff? You have those people who do exist. But then you have those people who exist as a pastor or a leader who recognize that they are there as a servant. And my job is to only uplift. You know, it's the pastor or lead, but it's also to uplift. And should I be confident that I do that well? Yeah. You know, so you could be confident that you do it well, but it's not that you're doing it well, and I don't want to get biblical, but that the Lord is using you, and that's why you do it well. But that's why it goes back to the original question about faith and works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I just get up and do the work and have no faith, then I'm thinking it's all about me.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I like this, though.
Okay.
This is good. This is good.
Okay.
I was wondering how far right or left this was going to go, but I like this. Yeah, because, you know, because some people are, you know, our former president was, you know, and nobody diagnosed him, I'm sure, but just listening to the amount of psychiatrists that were on talk shows that watched his language and his body language, they all would have diagnosed him as being somewhat narcissistic.
And, you know, that is because we have facts, or, you know, we can associate tragedies and pitfalls and intentional, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or the lack of awareness in initiation to correct one's behavior, like even when it's brought to your attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's clear there, and you see the drastic consequences
mm-hmm.
of such behavior. That's a good example, right? Because that's tangible for us to see that an entire, this country, right,
mm-hmm.
was impacted by the decision making. Does that make sense?
So mm-hmm.
this is very well where you can say, you know, why I say be careful with labeling someone
mm-hmm.
as such, because that's exactly where we probably could compare it to,
right?
Right? Even when you talk about corporate America,
mm-hmm.
really, that concept of greed, right? Greed, and, you know, they have narcissistic tendencies because they may very well, share that wealth with other people,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not the case with narcissistic personality disorder, right? They may be this, okay, only if elitist, right?
Yes.
This is the only, you know, population that's going to enjoy, you know, the benefits of that. Now, we may leave the poor folk out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do help. Right. I do, you know, have, you know, where I share, quote unquote, my wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like you said, being cocky, arrogant, and that's really prejudice, right?
Yeah.
Discriminating, right? That you, you know, take from the poor to give to the rich, right? You know, that's no regard, but you know, we have to just be careful with that particular term because it's a destroyer.
Calling someone narcissistic?
That particular way of being.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
It destroys people.
You, right? Yeah, you know? Yourself and those around you, and 9 times out of 10, you end up hurting. You'll hurt somebody else before you hurt yourself.
Right, right.
Because you don't realize, and like you said earlier, them not as long as they don't recognize it, it's always going to be a problem.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So that's where this is, right? If any of this applied to you, right?
Get you some help.
Seek counsel.
Oh.
In a sense of, you know, you're wondering why people are, you know, pulling away or, you know, don't want to be around you, or just overall, you know, you feel like you have to be a certain way,
mm-hmm.
right? Or you lack empathy, you lack, right, the ability to regulate your emotions. You always need, right, the validation or affirmations. Like, it's a craving, and a craving in that sense, literally how it means, is you yearn for it. Right. You know that, you know, it's just something you may want to look into just for overall, you know, better quality of life. Right. Better quality of life. All right, y'all. So next week,
we're gonna dive into borderline personality disorder, right? And then the week after that is antisocial. So we got these personality disorders lined up, all right? Just to talk about it, just to say, hey, you know, be careful, right? Check yourself, but also, you know, be mindful, right? I think there's no point in fighting with someone who is organically associated with this particular personality disorder, because you'll be going in circles, right? You cannot fix them, right? There's nothing you can do to rewire their brains. They have to acknowledge that there is an issue, there is a concern, and seek the appropriate level of care. All right, got it. There we are. All right, great people. Thank you for tuning in. I'm happy to be back. We said here next week, next Thursday at 5:30. All right. Enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great weekend. Tune in tomorrow, though. Right? Praise Break Friday.
That would be right.
I'm going to tune in. I got to make sure I tune in on time.
Why you got to tune in on time?
Be getting another show.
The Derrick Jackson piece?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun.
Oh, Lord.
It's going to be fun.
I don't. You know what? Let's talk about this off air.
I don't want me to talk about it.
I don't think that's, like, you know, from, I mean, just.
I'm not going, it's not about being funny or
no,
anything.
No, no, no. Oh. Still, period. I'm just like, you know, a lot of people have taken a stance on, like, no comment on the whole thing, because it just feels like you cannot speak on, not you per se, but, like, you know, people, like, why would you want to speak on something like this? Because it, let them people handle their own business. Like, you know, was it, were we on the air? I'm talking, and now I'm talking to you. Were we on the air talking about Beyonce and Jay-Z? Were we on the air?
I don't think we was on the air when that happened.
But
we
I'm
were.
Just saying, period. Like, you know, still, like, you know, for me personally, I mean, the funniness, haha, you know, would you be laughing if it was you? Mm-hmm. Not me, sis. Yeah, right. You don't know if that won't be you. Couldn't be me. You just call that girl slow. It has been you. It has been you in a relationship and everything else.
I know
like
we ain't
that.
Talking about it now.
I know
but
we're not talking about it now. I'm just giving my two cents.
Go ahead.
My two cents is that, don't touch it and everything else like that. Like, you know, girl, you look check the thoughts on her video about her. She's hiding behind God, just using a lot of scripture and everything else like that. However she copes, let her cope. Girl, he holding your arm too tight. You know, let me know if you need help. Did y'all ask Beyonce, did she need some help? She told you it was $1 billion on the elevator fighting. So she don't need your help. This lady does not need your help. However this man is plotting to do what he does in the light of a book coming out, that's their life.
Yeah, you know, my own.
Like,
angle.
People have made too much. It's been too much funniness. Like, Kev on stage. Like, would it be funny if it was your wife that did you this way in your bed? Would it be funny, like, you know, if it was your wife that was giving $1,200 to the side piece, you know, and everything else like that? Would it be funny, like, you know, we have a tendency. We're mean. This world is literally mean. And like, you know, I guess you got to have these different emotions and everything. You got to be angry. You got to be sad. You got to be happy and everything else. But we are mean. Like stop laughing at people's relationships and everything else like that. Like, you know, he has to account for it at the end and at the, you know, at the very end. That's their thing. It's for her. I don't know. I'm not sitting in her shoes or anything else like that. Like, you know, it's going to be a while and everything else like that. And like, you know, and it's not about how she looked. Like, girl, she looked it busted and everything. He got you on the air with no bra on, all of that. Hey, Halle Berry got cheated on. Beyonce got cheated on. You can look as fine as wine and you can be dressed out in gold, but the next man will still want somebody in titanium, or he going to want the plastic bucket. So it's whatever. My two cents, I'm done with it. I
you
just
know
really
what?
Don't think we
you,
should
and
touch
you know
it.
What? Like, obviously, you know,
go ahead.
The issue, I hear it all the time, right? You know, it's a couple's issue. You know, my only angle for this is just being in public, right? I think my talking point was really mainly about the following, right, and how the transparency, right,
yeah,
has to be a little bit more tighter, yeah, right, when you do that.
Yeah,
that
I know, like,
sense?
He, I know he went,
yeah,
in on, like, on John Gray, but buddy, look at you right over here.
Well, see, that's,
doing,
yeah,
the same.
That's my only thing I was, and I can say it now, is why did he put it out there because somebody else knew about it and they was going to tell it? So did he try to jump ahead of it? Or
the woman put it out there.
The woman who he was with?
The woman dished to another gossiper,
okay,
about, you know, said affair. And,
so he got,
know,
out in front of it.
He
was in response to the story being broke.
It got out and everything else like that.
So
yeah,
he tried to reframe it because he's trying to cover, because
you can't reframe nobody's bedroom. Like that was their bedroom.
No, I mean he's trying not reframe. I mean he's trying to take control of the story.
Yeah, and it was, you know, like I said, for me, it,
yeah,
the and Felicia said here, you do whatever you want, but this is about integrity. You can promote something and do something else. Not a good look. And that's why I was
not,
definitely not, you know,
it's not a good look.
Details. It really was more of.
And that's not the
careful.
Devil made you do it either.
Yeah. And for me, that
selfish. You were a selfish individual. As many women.
The
you
devil.
Were, like so, do not have it behind that. That you are the you know you
yeah.
you know the
yeah.
devil did not make that. You that was a selfish
from the
move.
Pit of hell. It's
you
dead.
Decided. You
yeah.
decided to you know
you
to afflict that girl.
You know, for me, he chose a profession, right, where he had to live up to what he spoke about. And
mm-hmm.
I know people fall, right? They
mm-hmm.
fall. And I compare that to other, you know, we know
preachers
in the faith-based community,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
People have fallen off, you know, fallen from grace. But that's where I was going with it. It's the looking at, you know, at what point do you stop being true to self? Right into those around you before you step up and own what you've done. Right. So this young lady, whoever, you know, that exposed it, has she not, right? We just don't know the magnitude of what he would have probably continued to do.
She was one of many.
Right?
And like you decided to.
Yeah. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So that's why I was
yeah.
like, you have to be careful when you put yourself out there into this space. That your life is such a narrow path of righteousness, right? When you know that your actions in transparency.
If he was selling cheeseburgers instead of relationship advice, and that's
where I am. Like,
that's
right.
where I am with it too. It's like this is what you know, and the same thing happens with us with preachers because we get held to a higher standard. We can't be sitting up here talking about some, you know, live a sinless life and or try to live a sinless life, and then you not trying or you making every possible
yeah.
you know you
yeah.
you being your best you know you
that's
being the best
it.
Holy hole
yeah.
you can,
yeah.
you know. So, but yeah,
that's it for me. It's really
huh?
like. That's
what?
The best.
The best.
I was like, the best. yeah, the
you know
best for me is like, you know, you got to be careful when you sell a script, you live in a script, and you fall like this, right? And, yeah, so nothing about her, you know. That
yeah.
yeah. It's really like, this is a wake-up call.
I just
call.
Saw a lot of women just went in on her. And, like you know, don't –
I think people are frustrated.
Help her.
Right.
Like, you know, but I mean, she can help herself, you know, at home when that live goes off and everything else like that. Like, you know, it's just too much. Everybody, like, you know, everybody over the head, like, you know, it couldn't be me. Like, no, it's been you. It's
you
been
know,
you, boo-boo. It's been you in fourth grade when the boy did not give you his cupcake. He gave it to another girl. You have been betrayed.
Okay.
So, like, let it go and everything.
I hear something with that. Like, I read some of the comments, like, you know, some stuff you said, you know, I definitely, you know, have to look at. But how we see beauty and everything comes out, right? Everything comes out to, you know, we've set up, oh, you know, if you're going to cheat, you cheat with somebody that looks better than, or, you know, look at what you got at home. I see why you did this. I mean, we habitually put stuff out there like that in the atmosphere. And so, you know, for as a society, we are getting worse, right, as it relates to using social media to say some of the cruelest things,
mm-hmm.
right? Some of the cruelest things. And guess what? A lot of it is projection.
That's mm-hmm. all it is.
Right. A lot of it is, you know, you're still bitter. You're not in a good space. You're mm-hmm. lacking the confidence needed, right?
That's what I tell people when they ask me for something. I say, at first, ask me when you ask me and I gave it to you, ask me now, what space was I in? Mm-hmm. Because it all depends, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, mm-hmm. right now and everything, because I can give you the worst advice, it, you know, like, you know, like, girl, should I, like, girl, you know, right now my relationship's so good. Go ahead and cheat. I don't see nothing wrong with it and blah, blah, blah. And there, so, like, you know, so ask me later and there, my relationship could be great. Like, you know, God don't even want that for your life. You know, you should close one door before you go, you know, you enter another. Like, ask me first, where am I when you ask me for, like, you know, what you think.
Yeah, and you know, depending on what's going on in your life, right? You know, in how you see things. I just think there's a lot of personal, you know, personal stuff that's going into it. And we are, which we, you know, we say we're working on as Black women, right? How we treat.
That's the part, and Felicia just mentioned it, and I know we try not to talk about this, but Felicia just mentioned it. Felicia said, sorry, she should have been glammed up.
No.
My thing is this. You did this, bruh. You get on the camera and you own it. If she chooses to get on the camera with you, because again, we don't know the context of how she ended up on camera with him. But the fact that you bring her on camera in a bonnet or whatever the situation is.
It was a beret.
Whatever.
It was not a bonnet.
A beret. And you know, whatever. And you know, she really looking like she didn't want to be there or whatever. And maybe she did it. And then while she was there, the look, she probably had a second thought, like, I probably shouldn't have sat here with your goof ass. You know, maybe that's how she felt while she was sitting there. But at the same time, it's like you need to sit there and own that bite. You know, it's just like when, you know, when we saw, I don't know if that's your that or if that's her phone next to the thing.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what's going on, radio?
But it always, and this is with men and when women screw up, but you normally only see it with men,
okay.
because we're the ones who do it so publicly.
Okay.
Is that we always want the person we hurt to stand up there with us, and now it makes them. You know, yeah, you're going to get your handful of people say, oh, she stood by him. That's so great. That's so wonderful. But then you're going to get the other ones like, she looks stupid standing there. Mm. You know, so it's that whole thing of, you know, it's the whole, who was that? Was that, that wasn't Tiger. Was that, who bought the big pink diamond?
Kobe.
Right? After Kobe got in trouble for cheating and almost went to jail. Because the old girl tried to turn around and say he raped her and everything, you know, but he went and bought that, you know, that diamond. But he, you know, he had to bite the bullet for that.
Yes.
You know, now she sat there while he stood at the podium.
Yes.
She sat on the side over there, you know, chilling. But, you know, but she wasn't like, you know, I just think that again, I never really followed dude. I just saw his clips every now and then. And that was the part I wanted to discuss tomorrow. It ain't necessarily
okay.
about him. It's more about, I mean, not about their situation. It's more about him.
Behaviors.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last note, Felicia says, narcissistic trick. That video was not about her. It was totally about him.
Mm-hmm.
Still selling books. He will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think the what way it
that?
Shakes, I got my phone in my hand.
Okay.
The way it shakes is,
okay.
It wants it over there.
Okay.
It shakes our community, right? I think that the devastation,
mm-hmm.
right, whether it was a ploy, a trick, you know, a stunt, right, a publicity stunt, you know, the way that it has, somebody took that home with them. You know what I'm saying? And so that was for me, like, you know.
Especially with our community, we carry that stuff. Even
yeah,
though
we,
dude ain't,
yeah.
he ain't like, you know, he ain't Denzel. But, you know, if this Denzel and Paula, You know, that they like the last between Denzel and Paula, and well, Jada and Will still together even after all the mess. But it's like how we felt when Jada was sitting up there talking and Will was sitting there with her. He had that look on his face like, what the?
Entanglement. He was like, you just found that word, didn't you? Like, she created that word.
But if we know that their indiscretions are not a secret, right?
It's right.
Part. So, I, you know, again, it's one of those things.
That was the thing that held them to a standard and everything. Yeah. Like, you know, that was that your relationship, God? Is this your relationship? No, your relationship, God, is you and whoever you're with and everything. And if you took his advice, you know, I mean, I laughed at it. I'm looking like, this man can't tell me nothing, because like this, like, you know, like you can, like that was not a keyhole to, like, you know, how to win a guy over in 10 days and everything else like that. So if that was your guru, let him go and everything else like that.
I did like the post where people say he owe y'all money if y'all bought it in his
Steven Speaks, the other relationship guy and everything else like that. And I think people have an issue with him because I think he has a white wife and everything else like that. So, like, y'all going to turn to him. What's next? There's another guy. There is – his name starts with an A and everything else like that. Y'all going to turn to him, the prodigal son. He gives out relationship scripture and or advice and everything else like that. You know, don't put your eggs in that basket and everything else like that. This is a trial and error. Relationships are trial and error. And he made, I'm not saying forgive him. It was an error, a very poor error and everything else.
It was a bad decision.
All of that, yeah.
Yeah, there was no error, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know.
The decision you made was for your own lust.
Yeah, because
you know,
to be tip drilling somebody $1,200, that's a hot new 40.
Yeah, it's not an error. Right, that you knew, you know, you worked that thing out.
He was trying to pass STEMI.
Well, excuse me?
He was trying to pass a little STEMI.
I know one thing.
He was just trying to pass a little STEMI.
Let me hush.
Look, y'all, we're about to go.
Yeah, we better go.
Y'all tune in tomorrow.
Y'all tune in to Dana taking the limits off.
Really?
I'm a step away while you give that
That's
man.
That's wrong.
While you give that man
really? That's what you're doing? That's what you're doing?
Of your time.
All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
What is the closing song at? Hold on. Let me find the song. She's just a man.
How you going to go?
Felice, I need you to come in. I need you to be
the
understudy
right
producer.
Wow. That is
it's
fun.
Good for the soul.
All right, y'all, have a good one.
Oh, I got along.